This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll do everything they can to make sure you're fully insured. Figure out every avenue to save you money, because customer service means everything to them. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studios, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We think that the suit ended up throwing at his kid. I will tell you one story of a kid I hit in batting practice once. So I'm out there throwing batting practice. I'm over at Daleview. I'm throwing it, throwing it, throwing it. And I got a kid comes up. And the kid steps, like, onto the plate. And the ball hits him in the knee. Right? Oh, my God. Now, he stepped, like, onto the plate. I don't mean just touching the plate, like his entire foot's on the plate. So what does that mean, of course, Todd? It's a strike. Okay. And he's on the ground, he gets up, and he says to one of the kids, he goes, "Mr. Jones got me with his fastball." And the other kid looked at him, he goes, "I can tell you that's not Mr. Jones's fastball." Like, okay. All right, somebody who has the fastball every time we talk to him, that's Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
Anytime you line up over the plate, you're asking for trouble. That you're just brushing him back by throwing a strike.
Hey, I threw it down the middle. He stepped squarely on the plate. I'm like, I was trying to get him to, like stride toward me. Here I am, this way, toward me. Right? And he kept stepping on the plate, and I was like, oh, jeez. And finally, he stepped on right when the ball was coming by. Like, oops. Okay. Okay. Like, there were no lawsuits or anything like that. Parents were pretty cool about it, as opposed to the
different era.
Guy. Yeah, they kind of looked at him like the parents saw it and went, "That was a strike." I said, "Yeah, I know."
Well, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's like. In fact, the parent apologized to me. "I'm really sorry he did." I said, "What are you talking about? I feel bad that it happened." All right. Now, the other guy that we work with would be screaming, like, "How could you do that to my kid?" I'm like, "Oh, I threw a strike. That's why the big triangle thing is there." All right. So, Quez Watkins is now a Steeler. Changes everything. No?
Before, like, a. More like a secondary free agency move. I'm not sure where else Quez Watkins was getting interest, but you know, you got 53 guys on a roster. Not all.
He's one of them.
George Pickens. Yeah. Now they've got him, and they there's always a guy, you know, a guy that's going to be out there in case bad things happen. But I wonder, and amazingly, no one asked Mike Tomlin at the owners' meeting about the Watkins signing. Specifically, but I wonder if he's not seen as a gunner, a special teams guy. Yeah. He's got very limited kick returning ability. I think with the new kickoff rules, that I don't know about you, I can't even visualize how they're doing it.
Maybe they
see some utility with that. I'm not sure, but at the end of the day, you know, every team's got probably at least five receivers, and a lot of them are going to be kind of like Quez Watkins, you know, not really especially overall productive. Maybe they have a trait like he does. He can run pretty fast. But at this point in his career, I mean, the one thing he's known for is dropping that pass in the Super Bowl. That's unfortunate. I'm not sure he's going to have a better opportunity to make a legacy in the league than that. But you hope he can, you know, show up, do his job, and help the team win a few games.
All right, so let's talk about the new rules. Again, you and I can't I can't envision the kickoff rule. I don't quite get it. And you know what's interesting? I find it interesting. One of the reasons where touchbacks have been just fine with the league is because you don't get any injuries on touchbacks. This is what I find interesting about this. They want to promote more returns. Well, make up your mind. Do you want the safety part of it, or do you want more collisions? What do you want?
Yeah, I think they went the long way as far as all but nullifying kickoff returns. They would argue that there's some strategy to it because, you know, in theory, you don't have to kick the ball out of the back of the end zone. It's like, okay, well, all of them do. So clearly, right, most teams feel that there's an advantage to this. The kicker doesn't miss often either. They're not, you know, if they chip it up, there's a reason. They want to generate a return. Mike Tomlin's teams tend to seem to want to do that. It seems like that's a philosophical approach, comparatively speaking. But NFL kickers are going to boot the ball out of the end zone if they have the opportunity to do it. Now, with this, it seems like you take away the idea of a surprise onside kick, which I hadn't really thought of at first as being a significant part of it, but if the guys up front have to watch for that, then that's going to affect how they're going to set up the return, where they're going to build. You can't call it a wall, but whatever it is, the primary wedge is going to be. It plays a part to have to stay back and make sure that there's not an onside kick. So eliminating that, I think, fits with it. And they want to de-incentivize touchbacks by not giving them as much yardage as what they had, and you put it into a certain spot so everyone kind of knows this is where it's going. My head hurts at this point. You know, you don't want to do away with the kickoffs because you don't want to be the people that oversaw the kickoff being eliminated from the game. I mean, that's kind of a weird thing. It doesn't really happen in pro sports as much anymore. All professional sports saw massive rule changes back in the 60s and the 70s. I don't think that they really want to have to do that unless they're backed into a corner like baseball that dramatically changed a bunch of rules last year. And, you know, frankly, it looks better. And maybe that's what the NFL is thinking now. They can get a better product out of this. At the end of the day, for me, I think it's a kick return. I don't know really how much it matters. I tend to see more frustration coming from that than anything positive. So just my biased opinion. Let's see what happens. I'm okay with that. I do like that there is some, you know, as much a connection to playing the actual game as you can get. My biggest issue, I help me out. I forget which team it is that proposed it. The Eagles that wanted to do the 4th-and-20 thing to get the ball back instead of an onside kick. That type of stuff drives me crazy. This is dumb. This is not the game. It's not how the game has been played. You can't have radical departures to the structure of, you know, rewards and penalties at this point in the history of the game. You know, in the kickoff, I don't think really modifies that a whole lot. And it does create some value in the sense that you're getting use out of the guys who are there. Because right now, really, they're healthy bodies by the end of the year. There's not really any strategic element on kickoffs in particular. There's a lot more on punts. But on kickoffs, there's nothing really there. I think adding an element like that can bring something. I'm not sure at the end of the day how big it's going to be, but it's better than what they were doing, probably.
Right. So then the other part is the tackle rule. Jack Hamm and I have talked about this in the broadcast many times. You know, because there'll be something that happens, a low tackle or somebody tackling up near the shoulder pad or the helmet or whatever. And Jack and I will talk about, like, it's difficult for a defensive player as to know, like, what the target area really is, especially when bodies are moving everywhere. What does this now do? Does anybody know what a legal tackle is anymore based on this rule?
I think you're asking that question a year too early. I think we're going to have that spelled out quite a bit during the season. And unfortunately, it's not going to be because while the NFL is running out of adjectives to use on all these different techniques that fans don't know anything about, a hip drop tackle probably is said hip drop because they don't want to say butt or the other word, but that's really what it is. Right. You're grabbing onto a guy from behind and you are dropping your rear end to the ground. If you look at it in a vacuum, in that context, it is dangerous in the same sense that a horse collar tackle is dangerous. Yeah. It really is kind of the same thing, just coming from a different perspective. I understand what they're trying to do with that. I do think, though, you don't have a safe way to take a runner to the ground from behind like that, and from the side in some instances. And what people say is keep your feet moving. Like, okay, well then, you know, Mark Andrews, one of the people who unfortunately got hurt on one of these last year and kind of became the centerpiece of it all, is 6'6", 250 pounds. If it's a safety in the open field who somehow Andrews is behind and the safety has to get him, he's not, you know, he doesn't have enough force to drag, to put Andrews on the ground from behind going forward. It couldn't happen. He's got to, you know, his point is to restrict him from moving forward. So how else does he do that? Physically, it's hard to see what they would do instead. So like most things with the NFL, what they're asking is for the officials to call penalties as opposed to actually making the game safer. You know, and I know that that's simplistic, and there's only so many things they can do in a violent game to really make it safer. The NFL wants to represent itself as doing everything that it can to ensure the safety of the players who are out there. The hip drop tackle, I can see as being inherently dangerous. Things like what happened to Andrew and what happened to Le'Veon Bell back in 2015,
right.
Maybe those things are avoided, but at the end of the day, the defenders that made those tackles would have gotten a penalty. Like, okay, that doesn't change the fact the Ravens were without one of the best tight ends in the game for a good chunk of their season, and the Steelers were without a backup running back. So, or without their primary running back. They had to go with their backup running back. It's not going to save anything, really. And it will also add more penalties on plays where players don't get hurt. And I think that, you know, not that it's fair, but that's going to infuriate fans even more. So I think in a year, you're going to wonder what it is, because we're going to have a lot of instances in which this doesn't look like what they told you you couldn't do. Because now it's not you're dropping your hips. Now they're going to grab onto the guy and just let their legs fall forward, you know, and slide down and get to his ankle. He's going to gain 7 yards doing it, but I don't know what else the defender is supposed to do. And that player either isn't going to play anymore, or they're going to do it the way that would stop them where they stood and get a 15-yard penalty. So it's another problem for the league as far as definition. But the practice of it is where the confusion is really going to come, and I think we're going to see that quite often this season.
All right. So the question is, now I realize that a lot of these rules are trying to keep the sport alive and to keep scrutiny down on the violence of it, right? So I do understand that completely. Are they tinkering too much with the game, or again, is this something we have to wait a year?
I think we can wait a year, though I will say this happens less frequently than guys getting hit in the head. And what happened in that, call this the James Harrison rebuke, when the NFL really decided to start enforcing those rules back in 2010, there was a dramatic change in the game because it happened as frequently as it did. I don't know if this is more ornamental than something that would actually really... Yes, there are examples of guys breaking ankles, spraining ankles, whatever, from this technique. And it makes sense, you know, why they would want to outlaw it in the name of safety. I don't know how often it really happens, but it's another issue with the NFL is so often there are so many things that don't happen very much that now have to be put under the microscope. And it makes you wonder now, is this going to become a bigger deal because they're going to call something that's close to it what it is, when in reality it might not be anything at all. This isn't the hit that they're trying to take out of the game. This isn't the result that they intended. And the NFL's been doing that for 14 years now, in my opinion. I think ultimately they need to show something that would give fans the confidence they're able to enforce this. And it is something that takes away from the game. And there is a solution that's better if they work on it. Because I really think that's what's happened to hits in the head and neck area. They still happen. You can understand why they wouldn't want them to continue. There are ramifications for that. Players will complain about it, but if you watch a game from 15 years ago compared to now, you see a significant impact in it. They're really not as you know, kind of needlessly destructive as they used to be. And with that, it makes sense. They say that the number of concussions are on the decline. I can see that in the game now. And if that's their end result, then they're successful with it. I just don't think that this in particular, it doesn't rise to that level. I don't know how often it's going to happen, but the main issue here is the fact that it happens to receivers in particular, especially in the middle of the field or running down the sideline, running backs and quarterbacks potentially. So, it shows the NFL's willingness to try to protect or put up a level of protection for the guys throwing and catching passes. And it kind of doesn't really seem to suggest that they're into the balance of the game, and that in and of itself is going to be a problem.
Opening game in Brazil with the Eagles will be on Peacock. Playoff game will go to Amazon. And two games on Christmas Day on a Wednesday. Your thoughts?
That's going to weird me out. Wednesday football. It sounds like something from a movie.
I know.
I purely a ratings play. I mean, it makes sense. Are they going to put the Christmas Day games on Peacock? That'll bring them in.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to hear the players' response to that. I don't know. We'll see. From what I read of it briefly, the four teams that will be involved would play the previous Saturday, so it really is kind of like a Sunday to Thursday setup for them, which, you know, we can get into whether or not they should be, but they have been for a while now. Maybe with that as well, these teams don't have a Thursday night game during the season. Mm-hmm. Right. If that's how they work it out, I mean, it makes sense. I really don't think it's that big of a deal in the end, especially if it's like, look, you don't want them to play on 3 days rest as opposed to four. If you're not doing that, I don't really see much of a difference, and it's a longer mini bye for them after it. So
there
is something beneficial that comes from it, and obviously there's a big Christmas Day market. I would say this overall, honestly, I'm glad it's not three games. If it was a Sunday, it'd be three games. So it would be a lot more than three games, and that gets in the way of things Christmas-wise. They don't need to occupy the entire holiday. I could see a primetime game. I don't think they need even two, but two is better than three for sure.
Oh, they don't need to occupy the holiday? Oh, Neil, this is the NFL. They occupy whatever they want.
Somebody who's not an NFL employee is saying that, obviously. We can see that now. They know that. They know that they can print money. They know that they could have, you know, if they wanted to, figure out a sub-league to play in the days that their main league doesn't play. If they want to do that, they could. They like to keep it where they are as long as the cash continues to flow in, as long as they continue to grow. This is why they're playing in Brazil. They want more fans. This is why the Steelers and the Colts are now licensed to sell merchandise in Germany. I wasn't aware that they weren't allowed to do that. But now they can go, you know, occupy Central Europe. They're trying to go for that market. And they're spreading certain teams around. I think the only reason the Colts are involved is because they have a guy from Germany on the team. I'm not sure if he's any good or not. I've never heard of him, though. So they're trying to grow an international market, and they're trying to be everywhere that they can, and if that's what a business would normally do, it makes sense. Without expanding the league itself, I wonder how much further they could really go You need more teams. You need more players. And to do that, you're going to need to develop more. And you don't want to add four main level teams. But at what point do you start looking at, you know, Premier League soccer, you know, soccer in England, having multiple tiers of leagues that all feed into each other? You know, at what point do you really want to dominate, set up something that you can develop, you can control, and, you know, obviously invest more dollars in it, but bring in more brand awareness, bring in more of a product, and have your players under control for longer. You know, give fans more of an opportunity to see them. I really feel like they keep going after the international market. That's what this is going to end up being, just a more connected, souped-up version of NFL Europe. And I feel like that's something that could survive if the NFL did it in a way that it was actively connected with their current team. My useless two cents, no one's paying me for marketing work as far as the NFL is concerned, but you're going to the lengths to have as much of your product everywhere as you can. You may as well do this.
Might as well. All I know is it's going to get to Christmas Day, and I will watch. All right, so.
True. I'll be there.
I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. Like, oh, this is disgraceful. And the same person saying it's disgraceful will end up watching the game. All right, Neil. Thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate you so much. The best.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong, half hour. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They may go with bundles. They overstay lines where permissible. They just want to save you money while making sure you're fully insured. Because guess what? To them, the big part is customer service. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK from the Sunbury Motor Studio.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.